Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 35 of season 9 of Movie Rot Minute, the daily podcast where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the Die Hard duo, the final two Die Hard movies, Die Hard 4.0, Live Free or Die Hard, and Die Hard 5, A Good Day to Die Hard, 5 minutes at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again to finish off his stint before he runs off to the San Diego Comic-Con tomorrow is Derek McDuff of the Underrated Movie Podcast. Welcome back to endure this with me.
Yeah. I'm glad to be back. I've had fun, but it'll be good to put this movie behind me.
Well, I completely agree with you. But again, the idea is of having a fun conversation with somebody, even if you're talking about a bad movie.
That can be the best conversation.
That's right. I hope this won't reflect on the way that you look at our conversations by thinking, oh, we talked about that terrible Die Hard movie. I'm already going to say right now, I will invite you back for next season. So, I haven't told people what the movie is next season yet, but I will invite you back for next season. So at least you'll be able to talk about a much better movie than this one. So,
yeah, I'm
the
excited.
The invitation is open for you on that one.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm looking forward to being back. And I think, honestly, the best movie conversations are the ones about really good movies or really bad movies. If a movie's just okay, like, it's like, well, what are you even talking about at that point? Like, but like when it's like, oh, this movie's so bad, you have a lot more to talk about. Or when a movie's really good, conversely.
Right. Okay, that's true. I mean, again, your podcast is called the Underrated Movie Podcast. So, like, what's your definition of a movie that's considered underrated? Like, does that go according to the number of people who've given it a ranking on either Letterboxd or IMDb or something like that? Or what's your definition of an underrated movie?
I tend to cast a pretty wide net with that. And at the beginning of the episode, I'll start with saying movies that are underrated, underappreciated, and ones that have gone under the radar. So they can just be a lot of different things, right? So, and some of it might be like a movie, like the first movie I ever covered was Speed Racer, which is a movie that when it came out, got trashed. It did really bad at the box office. Critics tore it apart. So that one's kind of like hits all the bases. But it can also be a movie like Silence, for example, which critics loved, movie buffs loved, but it did really bad at the box office. Not a lot of people ever talk about that movie, even within the context of Martin Scorsese,
because it's so slow. It's a great story. I agree. I actually like it, but it's just so slow.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like, so it could be really anything. It could even be the opposite, where it's like this movie made a ton of money, but people hate it. Like this movie, like it got trashed by. And I haven't covered it, but like I could theoretically cover like the first Transformers or something like that, because that's a movie that spawned a whole franchise. But like you listen to the way people talk about the movie, and people hate that movie. But I think the first one actually kind of holds up.
I think the first one's the best of the entire series.
Yeah. So it's really, and sometimes I'll have guests that'll pitch me stuff. Like I just, it'll be out for a little while, but the one I just posted this morning as a recording is on Flash Gordon, which is interesting because like that is a movie that had a really bad reputation for a long time, but now is kind of a cult classic. So it's like, that's one thing we talked about. Yeah. That's one thing we talk about. Like when does a movie go from being a bad movie to being underrated, to being a cult classic, to just being a movie that's part of the canon, I think that's another thing we get into a lot too. So those are like a lot of the interesting discussions I like to have on the show.
Oh, wow. Very cool. How many movies have you done so far?
As of this recording, 166 episodes, because it's every other Monday comes out. Yeah. So I've been doing it since 2019.
Very nice. Very nice.
I put out a lot fewer episodes than you do. Huh?
Okay, but I put out 5 episodes a week. You put out one every 2 weeks. Yeah. There's a difference. I only started mine during the pandemic. So, I've only been doing this for 4 years. But I do have close to 1,100 episodes so far. So, yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, see. That's impressive to me. That's very impressive to me.
So, episode 35 begins with Jack scoping out the area and ends Yuri trying to calm down Irina as John and Jack look on. So we ended things yesterday on something that I decided to wait until today to even mention. Do you happen to notice where the three of them are standing?
Yeah, this is like product placement jump scare. This is the way this minute starts, pretty much.
Exactly.
'Cause it's
100%.
just like boom, Subway sandwiches, and I'm just like, all right, that's like it's something I definitely saw in the movie because it was really weird, blatant product placement, and the fact that this is exactly where this chunk of minute starts, I think is pretty hilarious.
Yes. Okay. So first of all, we did see it yesterday. It was shown. You could, if you paid attention at the end of yesterday's episode or the episode chunk, you could have seen it. But I said I was going to wait until today to talk about Subway. And the first of all, the most interesting thing about this small little, what is it, maybe even a 2 or 3 second segment of this movie is that it does not appear in the theatrical cut. It is only shown here in the in the director's cut. So that's something that makes absolutely no sense to me whatsoever, because is it that the director then decided to make a deal with Subway, and he said, all right, I'm going to put it in the director's cut, and once I do that, then I will be able to I'll be able to make you some money. I don't know. Like,
It's weird, yeah.
it doesn't make much sense. Okay. So what do you know about the Subway franchise?
I mean, I know that they have very mediocre sandwiches that I used to eat a lot in high school because they were cheap, and that their spokesman is like in jail for being a horrible person and like a child molester. I guess that's about all I really know.
Okay, well, do you know when, or what would be your guess of when the franchise began? When they opened the very first Subway?
I'm gonna guess like the 70s or something.
1965, and it was then known as Peter's Super Submarine Sandwiches. That was the name of the it was created by two guys, Fred DeLuca and Peter Buck. So makes sense that they would call it Pete's Super Subway, Super Submarine Sandwiches. And it was opened, the first was opened in Bridgeport, Connecticut. And they kept changing the name over the next 7 years until 1972, when they actually came up with the idea of calling it Subway. So you see, you were sort of right with that.
The subway, yeah, in its modern incarnation, I guess.
That's right, exactly. And in 1974, that's when they started it as a franchise. They opened a second restaurant, and they started opening more and more. Do you know, as of now, how many locations do you think they have around the world? In
It's got to
1974,
be
they
a
had two.
ton. I know that for a while there, I don't know if this is still accurate, but there was more Subways than Starbucks restaurants, which is insane, but actually makes sense if you actually like
Just
clock how many there
you wait for that little bit of trivia. I will tell you that in a second. So first of all, there are 37,000 Subway locations located in more than 102 countries around the world. Okay, 61.1% are located in the U.S. They have 21,796 locations just in the U.S.
That's
Okay,
checks out though.
it is the largest single brand restaurant chain and the largest restaurant operator in the entire world. Okay, so yeah, it's so they have almost as many US locations as both McDonald's and Starbucks combined.
Jeez, wow. Okay, that's actually, because I knew it was the thing about Starbucks. That's insane that it's as many as McDonald's combined with them.
That's right. It's oh no, it's almost as many. Meaning
Almost
that
still.
apparently McDonald's and Starbucks is able to slightly outdo them
Jeez,
with the
that's
number of things, but that's just
wild.
unbelievable. Exactly.
It's one of those things though, when you driving and you like actually start clocking how many subways there are, you're like, there's another one. I
That
just saw one three
more or
blocks
less.
ago.
There you go. That's right. The countries that have the most Subway locations outside of the U.S. are Australia, Brazil, and the U.K. In Australia, there are 1,215. In Brazil, there are 1,643. And in the UK, there's 2,195 Subway locations. That's just
Yeah, that's
mind
wild.
blowing.
And there's at least this one in Russia too. We know that.
That we know. There's one There's one right in Moscow. Maybe we'll find one in Chernobyl later in the movie. Who knows?
Yeah, because it was the 80s, you know, they had been around since the 70s, as we established, so who
That's right.
knows?
Maybe they wanted to put more product placements in the in the director's cut.
Right.
Again, that's just a very strange thing to put into a director's cut. Just to
It's
throw this
very
little
weird,
part in there.
yeah.
Yeah. So as you said, also the mascot, I guess you can say, or the national spokesman was a man named Jared Fogle. Started being the spokesman in January 2000, and then they the whole idea that that he lost over 200 pounds by eating Subway, and that's how they brought him in. I don't believe it, but whatever. No, I wouldn't say he was able to lose 200 pounds by eating Subway, and maybe he was just throwing up and was having stomach pains so much that that's what caused it. I don't know. Again, I've had Subway. It's not terrible. It's
Yeah.
not the best around either, but
Yeah,
I'm not
they're just
gonna.
mediocre sandwiches, yeah.
Exactly. In 2015, they stopped using him. Because he was charged with possession of child pornography and illicit sexual conduct with minors, and he was sent he pleaded guilty and was sentenced in August 2015 to more than 15 years in federal prison.
Yeah, not a good
So,
look for the Subway Corporation.
no, not at all, not at all. It's yeah, that doesn't sound very well for them by doing that. But so according to this, he's still in jail. I don't know if that's or he's supposed to still be in jail.
Well,
But
good.
who knows? Yeah, exactly. I would agree with that. There's a he's still in the Federal Correctional Institution in Englewood as of 2025.
There you go.
Yeah. Oh wow, he pleaded guilty to child sex tourism and child pornography charges. I don't even want
Yeah.
to know what child sex tourism is. That just
Right.
doesn't
Not
sound. No,
good. Not a good dude. Not a good dude, that Jared.
no. Not at all. It's just a very strange name for a crime.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to try and look that up.
Yeah, no, you don't want that in your
No.
Google history.
No. Not at all. Okay, so let's continue talking about this movie.
Yeah. So something surprisingly less terrible. Let's get back to the movie.
Yes. What would you prefer to talk about?
Yeah. So, yeah. Like,
Jared's
we've
sexual
actually found
misconduct
something worse to
or
talk about than this horrible film.
Yeah.
Man.
So yeah, they give us this gratuitous shot of Subway. With Jack looking through a pair of binoculars, with this duffel bag right next to John, and Yuri just looking on with a huge Subway sign behind them, as they're trying to figure out where I guess they want to go to the Hotel Ukraina, and then we get a view through the I guess the viewfinder of Jack's binoculars. And they let us see that there are at least seven guards standing outside of the entrance. And Jack goes, "Oh shit!" He goes, "Well, we're not going in the front door." Yeah, that shows it's a little bit of a problem. But again, this entire part of the movie is not in the theatrical cut. The theatrical cut just shows them show up at the hotel itself. We have all these construction workers. Trying to figure stuff out. Apparently, they know that they have to do construction on this hotel before it gets blown up by the McLeans. That little do they know that tomorrow they're going to have to do even more work.
Right. A lot of bullet
And
holes to fix.
to say the least. And then the three of them, are standing next to some sort of truck, looking up. Jack's trying to figure out some sort of plan, and he goes, "All right, hold up, hold up. Okay, Yuri, listen to me, all right? We're almost done. As soon as we get that key, we're going to grab the file. Get you and your daughter out of Russia. All right? All right. Listen to me. You're doing good. All right? I need you to hang in there for a second. Keep an eye on him, John. John goes, hey, what's with all this, John? Whatever happened to Dad? He goes, yeah, good question. And
Ooh,
then,
sick burn, bro.
seriously. And then Jack disappears. And then Yuri looks at John and goes, in Russia, we have a word for men like him. Krutoi. It means tough, hard. Now, do you think they throw that in here because the franchise is called Die Hard?
Oh, you know what? I didn't think about that, but that makes sense. That makes sense.
You know, like it makes me wonder what they call Die Hard in Russian. You know, like
Right, that's,
what's
yeah.
the you know what's the American translation of it afterward? You know, the English translation. I know that you know, my good friend Jake Hewitt, on when he was in charge of the Lamcast, so one of the games he would play would be that you know, he would retranslate foreign titles of movies into English. And you have to guess what the movie is and stuff like that. So, you know,
Right. Yeah.
makes me wonder, you know, what they would have actually called Die Hard in Russian.
Right. Is it that? Is it like that word you just said? Like, I wonder if maybe that's it, you know?
Right. So, I'm not really sure what they call this movie in Russia. I mean, one of the things that when I was doing a little bit of research, the one thing I found out is called Tough Nut, but I also found a Russian movie from 1967 that's called Tough Nut that some people call Die Hard. So there might be some sort of discrepancy there, but
Yeah, I
I
saw the same thing on like a form for like the Blank Check podcast.
don't know.
So yeah, I think it, yeah, I don't know if there's some confusion there or what.
Yeah, I don't know. So, but it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
But it would be nice if that actually is. Oh wait, you know what? If we see Tough Nut and Die Hard. And what Yuri says here is, it means either tough or hard. So that fits in with both of those.
Yeah, there you go.
So,
Makes sense.
anyone out there, if you know what the Russian title of this movie is, and you know the Russian title translated back into English, feel free to let us know. I would be very interested in knowing if we're right that it's called Tough Nut or
Yeah.
something else. And then John just turns to him and goes, well, in America, it means juvenile delinquent. He goes, is he your only child? And he goes, no, I got a daughter too. And he goes,
She was
yeah,
in the other Die Hard movies, but she
that's
got
right.
cut out of the extended version of this one.
That's right. She brought me to the airport in a
Yeah.
different in a different multiverse. In this
Yeah,
multiverse,
which.
you know, my detective partner dropped me off.
Yeah,
They
which I
actually
was
do
like.
that very, very, very cleverly here. You know,
Yeah.
they edit it really well, and they just put his voice in there saying, have a nice flight. And that's it. Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, did I incept myself? I was like, did I have met? I was like, I thought I remember her dropping her off in the airport, and then I watched the cut, and I was like, oh, I guess she's not in this part. Maybe she's like in another part. And I was like, oh no. So I guess that's why I was so confused. I was like, did I miss it? What happened?
Yeah. I don't recommend that anyone goes and buys either of these versions of the movie, but if you're going to if you're able to find a copy of the theatrical one and you can watch them side by side, it's just very, very funny seeing when John is dropped off at the airport, how in the theatrical version it's extended by like 30 seconds with, you know, him and Lucy having a conversation in the car. And then the way that they do it here is it just the conversation it's after John gets out of the car. We just hear the voice of his partner that also we only had him in for a few seconds, Amari Nolasco, who just says something like, have a great trip, John, or something like that. And that's it.
Yeah, clearly 80 yard.
Yeah, completely. And so I like the fact that they're trying to get these two fathers to bond, even though, you know, when you know who Yuri really is, you don't really care anymore about what
Yeah.
he's trying to do. And he goes, well, I only have my Soldenice, you know, which basically is a Russian phrase. Do you know what it means? What is a
I do not.
Soldenichko? It actually means sunshine. My
okay.
little son or my sunshine. It is a term of endearment often used as a pet name or affectionate term, similar to calling someone my son, S-U-N.
Okay.
Could be
All
used
right.
in friendly, romantic, or even patronizing context, depending on the situation and the speaker. So yeah, again, I mean, we saw before when, a few days ago when he was talking to his daughter, he called her sunshine.
Yeah,
So,
I remember that. Yeah.
well, sorry,
So
in the
that makes sense.
translation, he called her sunshine. He actually probably said Solanicho, but here he
Yeah, because
actually
I
says
remember
the
seeing
word.
like the subtitles saying
Yeah,
sunshine. Yeah.
that's right. And then Yuri continues, says, "Well, when she was little, I was working all the time. I believed work was all that mattered." And John goes, "Yeah, I screwed my kid's life up too. You work all the time, around the clock, most of the time, when you're a cop. I just thought that working all the time was a good thing, you know? I didn't help him at all." He goes, "It's never too late." And we get a shot of Jack eavesdropping on this, which, again, is too much of a trope, the way that they do this here.
Right.
Because it's like, oh, let's get mushy and show that that John is letting his heart out for his son, that type
Yeah,
of.
it's very like screenwriting 101 save the cap type thing, you know?
Yeah, completely. And what it comes down to is John goes, "Yeah, I hope." And then Jack pops up and goes, "All right, let's go." And then the next shot, we see them crouching down, trying to scope out the back entrance to the building. It reminds me sort of like Return of the Jedi, where the Ewoks tell them that there's a back door, and they figure out
Right,
that we can't go in the front door, so let's go in the back door. But we don't have an Ewok that's gonna jump on a speeder bike and try to distract them here. Instead, we have
Right.
John McClane, who does the same thing, which, I actually like the way that they have John do this, because the shot focuses on Jack and Yuri talking, and then you see John sort of move to the right a little bit, and then you sort of see him in front of us. And if you're paying attention, you can tell that because of his plaid shirt, that John is now going to be doing something, trying to figure something out. But this is all happening like in the back or in the background. It's like in front of them, but in the background. It's like it's not the
Right,
foreground
yeah.
for what we're seeing, but it's just very funny with the conversation with Jack is he goes, "All right, Yuri, which part of the building is the ballroom in?" And he goes, "It's in the main tower." "Main tower? Which floor?" "Top floor." He goes, "Top floor?" He goes, "What about security? Remember any guards, cameras, anything like that?" And he goes, "I don't know." "Well, I need you to remember." He goes, "I was in prison for 5 years. How should I know? Everything could have changed. I know. Just think, all right? Picture it in your head." He goes, "The ballroom was closed in 89. I think it's under construction now. So that floor is unsecured. I don't know. Listen, my daughter's in there. I'm scared to death. Let's go." So again, they're having this pointless conversation where we see in the background John is already making a move. We see at one point that John is talking to one of the guys who's dealing with the laundry there, and he basically gives the guy some money, and the guy gives him his swipe card to get into the building. So it's just really funny that these two guys are having this conversation by not realizing that John already has a better plan than what the, than this
Right.
silly conversation. I think it says a lot about Jack, the fact that he's pushing this issue with Yuri, that come on, you got to remember what happened in 1989, and this movie's taking place in 2013, so you're
Right,
talking
yeah.
20. Yeah, remember 24 years ago when you and your wife came to this place to dance. So what type of security did they and again, in 89, that was before that was before the Iron Curtain fell. So things were completely different back then.
Yeah,
So
he's very much like it's like, dude, like I don't know, like it, and that it just speaks to like kind of just the clunkiness of the screenplay, I think.
yeah, the clunkiness of the screenplay and the character of Jack is just not very smart. They're, you know,
Yeah.
you'd think that if somebody is being sent on a mission like this, He already is well trained and knows what he's doing and things like that. You know, this he
Yeah.
shouldn't be a novice.
Right. This, but I mean, hey, I guess the CIA has screwed up pretty bad in the past, so I'm not surprised.
Well, Mike Collins is dead, so they screwed up from that perspective too.
Yeah.
And then we hear like a whistle in the background, and then Jack says, "Just calm down, Yuri." And then they happen to notice that, you know, John is motioning for them to come to them, and then the next thing we know, we're in an elevator where John is swiping the card.
Yeah. And that elevator scene is just, we talk about tropes and cliches. That is just so, like, it's like, oh, the three action guys, and they're sitting there in the elevator, and it's the man from Infinite or the girl from Infinite is playing. It's such a cliched song choice of like tough guys, and they have to sit in the elevator. Like, we've seen that a thousand times. Like,
Yeah,
it's
for sure.
so tired at this point, and they don't do anything interesting or put any spin on it at all.
Yeah. The cool thing I do find out about this whole segment of what they did here is that John once again shows that street smart works much better than book smart. You know, and that's something that John McClane has shown a lot of people over the course of all five of these movies. And here he's showing it to Jack. You know, Jack is like, okay, how am I going to get in there? What clandestine type of thing I can do in order to be able to get to the top of the building? And you know, like, what type of security is there? And John's just like, hey, why don't you just go bribe somebody and, you know,
Yeah.
easily get in.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, and I don't know, like we briefly mentioned that, like how he becomes like a more like an Ethan Hunt action guy in some of these movies, and I do think like about the way that those two franchises have progressed, like you know, over the years, and they have both had so many entries, and the way that their protagonists have changed, and you know, John McClane starts out as the ultimate everyman, and he becomes more and more like an Ethan Hunt, and I do miss moments like that when he would just be smart, you know, like when he's like instead of jumping through eight windows or whatever and like falling off a helicopter, he would just try and like you know find the smartest way around something or you know like bolt you know Hans Gruber or whatever, and so little moments like this are nice.
And I, again, it works really well. And you know, the fact that a you know they even make a comment. They say, "I guess you've done that before." Smart. You know, it's
Yeah.
like Jack is like, "I didn't even think about that. It didn't
Yeah.
even cross my mind to go do something like But then you know we hear him say, "I could have done it." It's like,
Yeah,
what?
yeah.
Like
Yeah.
what do you? Where is that coming from? You know, you're
Yeah,
really
I guess
trying
you could have
to make
paid him
yourself.
off. Like, yeah.
Yeah,
He's trying to look cool in front of his dad and his new friend. Like, I guess. I don't know.
maybe that's the only explanation that I can think of
Yeah.
from that perspective.
Yeah.
And I mean, like you said, they spend way too much time just watching the three of them in the elevator. The only good thing that happens in the elevator is that they take out the weapons, you know, which again is a movie trope where we're climbing the stair, we're climbing the elevator. Let's just get our weapons ready, and we're gonna, you know, come out a blasting.
Right. It's this night. Oh, it's this moment. These guys are looking all tough, but there's some calm, relaxing music playing. So, oh, isn't that an interesting dichotomy? Sure, it was the first 20 times I saw it in a movie, but at this point, it's so overplayed.
That's right. And then they walk into the ballroom, and you know we get to see that this is a really, really nice ballroom with a lot of crystal chandeliers,
That you know are going to get shot up very soon.
completely.
You see all those chandeliers, and you're like, all right, that's a set piece.
That's right. And we can see that there are huge windows, another set piece that's gonna, you know, there's going to be a lot of glass on the ground very shortly. My one complaint here is that they really spend way too much time with them walking around, walking through this ballroom, with nothing actually happening besides them showing us the glass that's going to break. You know, that's it. That's the extent of what we actually get here. And then we
Right.
see a figure start coming towards them, and Yuri goes, "Irina, Irina, Irina," and then finally, you know, she comes out of the shadows and goes, "Papa, Irina, Papa," and then they start speaking to one another in Russian. You know, even the subtitles They spare us with the subtitles. We don't need to know
Yeah.
what these two are saying. Then John turns to Jack and goes, "Hey, that's tender." He goes, "Really? I wouldn't know." So that's also a nice jab at his father.
Yeah.
You know,
And the thing too,
saying
like, so they walk into the room and there's all these like really big establishing shots, and like, you know, everything's shot very like wide, you know, the characters are very small in the frame. So you're like, you're seeing a lot of this room, and I'm like, in the next minute, guys are just gonna emerge. Where are they in this shot? Like, 'cause you see so much of this room. I don't know where the heck these guys are all hiding, because there's like 20 just armed dudes in the room somewhere. And we get to see a lot of the room in that establishing shot and the shots directly following it. Are they magic? Did they just appear? Because that's the only way in the room,
they
as
have
far as I can tell.
cloaks of invisibility.
I guess so.
I think it's the only explanation.
Yeah.
Or the scriptures didn't need them yet, so therefore
Yeah, that's more like it, I think.
you can look at it from the perspective that you know it's kind of what movie that is where someone is writing a script and then things appear and disappear as they're going through it.
Yeah.
So maybe that's something like that.
Yeah.
But people will have to come back tomorrow with my next guest to actually possibly get answers to that or just enjoy the action sequences that we'll be having to go through.
Yeah, because like I said in the first episode that I did, these three episodes are just kind of like the bits between these two big action set pieces. And we do
That's
get
right.
a little bit of action. There's some shoot 'em up stuff, but it's not like they're these real big set pieces that everyone will like dominate like 10, 15-minute chunks of the movie, and then they'll be like, all right, now we got to get about the business. These 15 minutes were kind of all about the business.
That's right. Well, you get exposition, and you get
Yeah.
you get Yuri looking himself in the mirror for far too long. So
Yep.
you can't say you didn't get actually there are no
Yep.
good minutes in this movie, but
Yeah, I mean, I'm not
you
complaining. You know, I think I had a lot more to talk about than if I was just gonna be like, and he's still driving.
exactly. Exactly. And that's how this segment ends. Is there anything else you want to talk about this segment?
I think that about, yeah, like covers all of the things I wanted to say here. Yeah, I mean, I do say one thing I will say that was nice is that I guess this might not have been in the theatrical, I'm not sure, but you do get a nice establishing shot of the outside of the building where they're doing construction, so you do see that like slide that they will go down. So they do at least a good job of establishing, minus the fact that people just appear, the geography of this
Right.
place.
Exactly. Well, maybe they're gonna come down the chutes too. Maybe they have like a
Yeah.
Batman lair, and that we're gonna see like a bookcase open and the guys are gonna run out.
Right. Secret passageways.
That's right. All right. So today we're going to play a game called 6 Degrees of Bruce Willis. And the idea is similar to the whole idea of 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon. I will give you the name of an actor, and you have to connect that actor to Bruce Willis in as few degrees as possible. All
All
right.
right, I love this
So
game.
get your thinking hat
All
on.
right.
So your first one is Joe Pesci.
Joe Pesci. Okay. So I feel like I'm gonna have to go with Goodfellas. I'm not like off the top of my head, I don't know a ton of. Oh, I guess I could go with Home Alone, but there's not a lot of other good people to pull from in Home Alone. So Goodfellas, and then I can go through De Niro. How do I get from De Niro? Oh, De Niro, is he? De Niro. Okay, I got it, I think. So Pesci is in Goodfellas, right, with De Niro, and De Niro is in Heat, as I talked about on a previous episode, with Al Pacino. Al Pacino is, of course, in Ocean's 13, who Bruce Willis is not in 13, but he is in 12. So I could use any of the cast members of the Ocean's movies to connect them.
Excellent. That is
Right?
a
Okay, cool.
that's done very well. Very well.
Thank you.
I went a little shorter of a route.
Okay.
So Joe Pesci was in Lethal Weapon 4 with Al Leong, and Al Leong was in Die Hard with Bruce Willis.
Oh, there we go. There we go.
Yeah, you know who Al Leong is, don't you?
I don't think so.
He was one of the goons. He's the guess the Chinese goon in the first Die Hard.
Oh, okay. All right, there we go. All right, yeah, would not have gotten that. So I had to go through the
That's fine.
Oceans movies, which are
No,
easier to do, but
I for sure. I know I had more time to prepare for this than you do.
yeah.
So I do understand that. But nicely done. Okay, the next
Thank
one
you.
is Jeff Goldblum.
All right, Goldblum. That's interesting. Okay, let me try and run through the Rolodex in my brain of Goldblum movies. We've got Jurassic Park, got Independence Day. Got the flag, so I could go through Gina Davis. Okay. I think I've got it. Bruce Willis is in Unbreakable with Sam Jackson, or I guess I could also go Die Hard 3. Let's go with Die Hard 3 because this is a Die Hard podcast. I'll say he's
Okay,
in Die Hard 3 with.
you can do either. That's right.
Yeah, I'll say Die Hard 3. He's in Die Hard 3 with Sam Jackson. Sam Jackson's in a ton of Marvel movies with Chris Hemsworth, who is of course in Thor Ragnarok with Goldblum.
Okay, very good, very good. You could have shortened that by one space by Goldblum and Samuel L. Jackson were together in Jurassic Park.
Oh, of course. How did I forget about? Okay,
But hey, but
yeah.
that's very impressive. Very nicely done.
Thank you. Thank
All
you.
right. Your next one is Tommy Lee Jones.
Okay, Tommy Lee Jones. And now I could just cheat and like I could very easily go through Captain America to Sam Jackson because of all the Marvel movies, but I just did that. So I feel like I want to make it a little harder for myself and not go through a Sam Jackson Marvel movie again. So Tommy Lee Jones. Okay, Harrison Ford was in one of the Expendables, right? I'm pretty sure.
Yes, he was.
So, okay, so Harrison Ford through the Expendables. And then Harrison Ford into what's it called? The Fugitive with Tommy Lee Jones.
Excellent. Very good. So
I told you I was good at this game.
you seem to be. You seem to be very nice. So the one that I went with was Tommy Lee Jones was in Ad Astra with Brad Pitt, who was in
I forgot he
Ocean's
was in that. Yeah,
12 with Bruce Willis.
that's good.
Okay. All right, your next one is Joe Pantoliano.
Oh, Joey Pat. Oh, yeah.
Joe
Okay.
Pants.
So I could go through like any Michael Bay movie, or I could go through a bunch of Wachowski movies. Okay, this one's a little tougher, I feel like. Is Keanu or Carrie Ann Moss and anything? Oh, was Joey Pants is in Armageddon, is he? I don't think he
No,
is,
he's not.
but I'm sure that he. Okay, I'm sure he because he's. He's in a lot of other Michael Bay movies. There's got to be some crossover there. Give me a sec to try and figure out what that crossover would be. Who is in Armageddon and then another one of Michael Bay's movies? Okay, maybe I've got it. Hold on, let me think. Let me feel it. Let me think if this is a combo. It's a few steps, but I think I might have it. Let me just run through it in my brain. I think I'm right.
Sure.
Okay, I think I've got it. Okay. So you've got Joey Pants is in the Bad Boys movies with Will Smith, who's of course in Pursuit of Happiness with Jaden Smith, who's in the 2010 Karate Kid with Jackie Chan, who is in what's that? It's some terrible movie. I can't remember the name of the movie. It's a terrible movie with Jackie Chan
Good
and
Day
Jet
to
Li.
Die Hard.
It's
With Jackie
the
Chan and Jackie Chan and who?
and Jet Li. It's like about the Monkey King legend or something. But it was built on like it's Jet Li and Jackie Chan. They're finally in a movie together. Do you know what I'm talking about?
It's vaguely familiar, but okay. So let's go with
Okay.
that. So and
All
so
right.
you're trying to get
And
to
so
Jet Li.
then Jet Li is in Expendables with or one of the Expendables movies with Bruce Willis.
Okay.
So yeah, had to take a minute to get that one,
Not a
but
problem.
yeah,
That's a very good way to do it.
thanks. I'm sure you're gonna tell me a much easier way to do it in a second.
Yes. Are you talking about the Forbidden Kingdom?
That's the one, Forbidden Kingdom.
Yeah, okay.
It's like it's loosely based on like the legend of the Monkey King, like the Chinese legend.
Okay. So the way that I found was Joey Pants was in Daredevil with Ben Affleck, who
Oh
was
yeah.
in Armageddon with Bruce Willis.
That yeah, there we go. I totally okay, yeah, that's good. I see I've never seen the 2003 Daredevil, so that would be why.
Okay. That's fair. And your final one is Jennifer Jason Leigh.
Jennifer Jason Leigh. All right, now I'm trying to even think of a movie she's in. Oh man. I was on such a roll too.
You open your mouth by saying these are real easy.
Right, exactly. I Hateful Eight. The Hateful Eight. Oh my God.
There you go.
That's the one?
That is the one, yes.
All right, and then Sam Jackson, so.
All
My gosh. Okay.
Excellent.
That
Okay.
was so easy, and I made it all so difficult for myself.
And the other one that I got for her was she was in Shortcuts, the Robert Altman movie with Madeline Stowe, who was in 12
Okay.
Monkeys with Bruce Willis.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, I don't think I would have gotten there on that one, but yeah.
Right. Okay. All right, well, thank you for being a good sport and for playing that.
I was off to a good start, but then, quickly, fell off the, fell off the track.
Yeah.
Oh, I should have gone through Annihilation. God, because then I could have gone through, because I did just Google her, so I didn't just get that, but like I could have gone through Annihilation, which would have given me Portman, which would have given me back to either way, gotten me back to Sam Jackson.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh well.
All right. And we will once again play a game of State Your Motto. And your state for today is South Carolina.
Okay.
So choice A, agriculture and commerce. B, while I breathe, I hope. Or C, to be rather than to seem.
You know what? I'm gonna be consistent. Because I guessed C on the last two for no other reason than let's three for three. I'm gonna guess C again. And if I I'm
And
gonna just ride or die on it.
you are 3 for 3 by not knowing any of them. The answer
If
is
it would have been C and I would have been wrong, I would have been very upset with myself, so I'm fine with this.
that's fine. So it's B. While I breathe,
Okay.
I hope.
Okay. All right, all
Right,
right. I feel like it was B the
excellent.
last couple of times, so maybe I should have just made that my strategy.
Well. All right, Derek, would you like to once again, one final time before you go off to Comic-Con tomorrow to chair a session, why don't you tell everyone where they can find you online or in person?
Yes, underratedmoviepodcast.com to get the links to all of my stuff, or just look up Underrated Movie Podcast. However you're listening to this, all your podcasts of choice, you can listen to Underrated. Have over 160 episodes out now talking about all kinds of underrated movies. So if you have a favorite underrated movie, chances are fairly good that I talk about it there. As I mentioned, you can also find me in person if you're listening to this tomorrow at San Diego Comic-Con. I will be hosting a panel at the Neil Morgan Auditorium in the San Diego Central Library there at San Diego Comic-Con at 4 o'clock tomorrow. So that's Thursday, July 24th. If you're listening to this on the day it comes out, I'd love for you to, and you're at Comic-Con, come and check my panel out. I think it's going to be a really fun one.
All right. Sounds very, very cool. Sorry I won't be in San Diego tomorrow, but I look forward to
No worries.
listening to the recording of it afterwards.
Yeah, it'll be out there as a bonus episode for everybody.
Yeah. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Around Minute. You can find me on Facebook, you can find me on Twitter, you can find me on Instagram, you can find me on my website, moviearoundminute.com. And if you want to send me an email, you can send it to moviearoundminute@movierob.net. So Derek, thank you very much for joining me. I've had a lot of fun talking about this terrible movie with you. So thank you for being a good sport.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I had a lot of fun talking about this terrible movie with you.
Excellent. All right, so I will be back tomorrow with another guest, but until then, yippee-ki-yay.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Some folks are born made to wave the flag. Oh, they're red, white, and blue. But it ain't me, it ain't me. I ain't no fortunate one, no.